We're back on the Weird But Harmless podcast. It's just me and Ferris today. Say hey, Ferris.
What's up?
You know, kind of last spur of the moment, I guess. I don't know if we planned it or not.
I fell asleep. Like, I sat down. I thought about going to jiu-jitsu again. But I was like, I don't need to go to jiu-jitsu because I've gone 6 times this week. My body's breaking down. And I did work out and kickboxing.
So, you remember when we were younger, we could work out like 3 times a day?
Yeah, not anymore.
Like, now I'm like, 1 time a day is enough.
Like, my body's just falling apart on me, so I just can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I wanted to.
You know, maybe if I woke up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, did one style workout, then rested for like 8 hours, I could do another. But one, I'm not waking up at 5 because, you know, I'm struggling to get up at 7.
I wake up at 5 every day. Every day, Wednesday, Friday, I wake up at 5. Tuesday, Thursday, I would say normally I would wake up at 5:30, but I don't because I'm in running schedule now. So I wake up at like 4:30.
Yep. Just seems unnecessary. I'm sorry. I know why you do it, but I'm just like.
Yeah, there's plenty of time in the day. And when here's a good thing. When it gets 9 o'clock, 9:30, I fall asleep and I sleep. 10 o'clock, 11 if I'm feeling frisky, but usually I'm asleep by 10:30. I'm dead of the world by 10:30. But you know, you'd think on the weekends I would fall asleep early, but like I'm a night owl.
So what do you do on the weekends now? Because I mean, you know, you don't go out anymore, and not like that's a bad thing, but I mean, you know, we're just in different situations.
Hang out with Jill one day, and then. Go hunting the next day.
Because we don't really have family night anymore, so.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to that, but.
Well, it's fucking life. Yeah. That's what happened.
Also, our friend Brett does, you know, kudos to him, but he does a lot of details now trying to save money, so.
Gotta make that money. Man, it's fucking shit's expensive.
Dude, what?
Everything's expensive, so I don't blame him for it took working me 70 a lot of hours.
I'm not. Trying to get on this tangent, but it took me $70 to fill up my tank the other day, and I'm like, fuck me, dude.
Yeah, I was at 80. I have a big tank in my trunk, though. But even then, like, well, fuck. I was paying $40 last year, or a year and a half ago.
Yep.
Let's go, Brandon.
So I actually had to look up, like, I kept seeing it. I was like, who the fuck is Brandon?
Did you not know what it was?
No,
it was
I didn't.
It was NASCAR. From NASCAR.
It was from that. That's what I looked at. And when they said it was like, it was from NASCAR because I thought it was for Brandon, whoever, who won the NASCAR race. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I did a little bit more research. And I was like, oh. How the fuck you get Let's Go Brandon out of fuck Joe Biden? And one, if you're Joe Biden, how do you, I mean, like, how do you, I wonder how you respond to a stadium full of 100,000 people going, fuck Joe Biden. Well, now I might cancel out.
A lot of stadiums are doing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's not just SEC stadiums, which you would think it would be. It's a lot of them. You know? I'm like, you're Joe Biden. You're the president. You've achieved your goal. And there is a stadium full of kids just being like, fuck you.
Right.
Which, well, I mean, it comes with the territory.
Well, here's the thing, though, man. There. Either you get on the pot and you take a shit, or you get off the pot. Mm. He won the presidency. Okay, he got 80 million fucking votes.
I think he got the most votes out of any president
in
history.
Yes, out of any president in history. Or did Donald Trump get the most votes against him ever? But okay, so the crux of what I'm trying to say is, did I really like Trump? Did I think he was entertaining? Absolutely. He was fucking hilarious. Hilarious guy. Funny as fuck, okay? Did I really think that he needed to be the president? I really didn't. I was like, do we have no one else? Is there nobody else besides this reality TV star real estate mogul? There's no one else. We have nobody else capable of being the goddamn president besides him.
350 million people. Maybe closer to 400.
And that's who we pick? However, I'm a practical man. When he was in charge, I was not paying $80 in gas. All my stuff that I was buying was cheap. My stocks were doing great. And you know what? Whenever my business and everything is doing well, I'm happy. So at that point, I could deal with Donald Trump. Okay. Yeah, I got to deal with his silliness and some of his nonsense and some of his bullshit that he had. But you know what? At the end of the day, I'm making money and I'm living a prosperous life.
But he tweeted me.
He said stupid shit. I get that. And it's like, yeah, in an ideal world, we would not. We would have a real statesman that's a good at what his job, and he does, you know, a person that you could look like. I'm proud. I want to be like him, right? But you know, like I said, I'm practical. I'm a pragmatic man. He was doing good for me at the time. You know what? He may have been a piece of shit, but I don't give a fuck. At the end of the day, as long as my friends and family and myself were doing well with him under leadership, I could live with him. Whatever. You know, now we have the nice guy, Joe Biden, that, you know, he has all the, he has LGBT people in the office, and he has all the, he gives all these people.
That dude
people
doesn't know
colors.
Who the fuck he's got in his office.
He don't know anything. He's checking all the marks for all the things to make you look progressive and all that stuff. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with LGBT or color, like, I was going to say colored people, but that's what people of color is. It's, you're just another way of saying colored people. That's what it is. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. When you say people of color, you mean colored people. You know how colored people is not a nice thing to say? Well, that's, okay, just call them people. And when you want to start getting into, like, demographics, be like, Asian American, Black American. But to me, they're all Americans. There's no, exactly. And to me, there's no African Americans. They're not African. They're American.
No.
I get that my ancestors, I am not a Syrian American. I am an American. I was born in the United States. My dad, you could maybe make the case that he is a Syrian American, but legally he's an American.
You only have one citizenship, don't you?
I kind of have multiple. That's besides the point.
Okay. Anyway, moving on.
But my dad could say that he is a Syrian American, right? A person that was born in Nigeria and came to the United States and became an American could say, like, that's an African American. That's a African American. He is originated one generation. He is right off the boat, as they say. My dad is right off the boat.
Yeah.
I'm not right off the boat. I was born here. I was born in West Monroe. American. American accent. American English. First language.
I don't know. I think we could go with more Southern English. I don't know.
Southern English. Well, I mean, dialect of Southern English, right? But if 5 generations from now, those people are not Syrian Americans. They're not. Even if they were all to marry other Syrian people of like half Syrian, they would not be. They would just be an American.
How far you think a generation? So like, your dad's Syrian American, no right. doubt. You are still relatively close to how your dad is. Not, you know, obviously you're Americanized, but, you know, you and your dad still have a bond over, you know, I'm trying to figure out how to word this. Basically, you're still somewhat Syrian.
I still understand the Syrian, like, I understand the Syrian, like, culture and stuff like that.
But let's
I'm
take
not
your,
that far removed, but my kids will be much more further removed.
That's what, you know, so how far do you think it goes down the line of, hey, man, we're just tan?
Yeah, well, what I was getting back to saying, like, how Black Americans are black. If you were trying to, like, first, they're Americans first.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to even get even more specific, they're John or Bill or whatever.
Yeah.
They're their own individual person first. And then they're an American. And then they are whatever their racial background is. And then whatever that, and then they're a citizen of planet Earth. And then they're a citizen of the Milky Way. Any Milky Way galaxy. And then there were Alpha Quadrant, you know, like the universe, this universe. And then whatever multiverse there is, right?
We're a speck.
But, and I don't mean this mean. It's like, I think it's, not, I don't think it's appropriate to call somebody an African American if their ancestors were from 400 years ago. There's no connection to that culture anymore.
No.
I barely have a connection to my own, like, dad's culture. My dad barely has a connection to it. What do you think? If that's one generation, that's less than 30 years. Less than 30 years, I have barely any connection to the Syrian. Like, I understand it and I feel it, but I'm more comfortable in this one. What do you think? 400 years. Or the settlers from England, what do they have in common with? They're not English Americans. They're not European Americans. They're just an American.
Yeah.
Their racial background may be European, but they're an American. Everyone, we're all, if you're an American citizen, you're an American, end of story. Now, I do, like I said, I do feel that your individual self and then your family is more important than necessarily your nationality. I think that you. I think that's the better way to think. Because first, I'm Ferris. I am my own person, my own individual, like unique snowflake person, right? And then I have my family and friends that are the next thing of importance. Then it's my country. Then it's my. It goes further out. It goes in the city, and then the state, and then the south, and then United States, and then whatever. I think we get too attached to our labels. Like, just, I'm me. I'm Ferris.
Well, I mean, you also got to think about it. Since the moment we could read and write, we've been having to fill out these pieces of paper that, you know, what nationality are you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm Caucasian, whatever the fuck that is. I mean, right. I know what it is, but it's like, I think I'm white.
Well, I just think that, like, saying white and a white guy and a black guy or a tan guy or an Asian guy, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with that? There's nothing. Where are people from China from? They're from Asia. I get that there's a different, like, I'm not saying call them Orientals or Asiatics, as my grandmother would say. Like, but that makes sense. Like, Asian, Middle East, African, North Africa. Then you can get, like, first of all, Africa is fucking huge. Have you know how big Africa is?
Yeah, it's the biggest, like,
second biggest continent. Yeah. It's fucking huge. You can fit the United States, China, India, Western Europe, and a few other islands in Africa. You can fit the entire United States in the northern part of Africa. To say that a person from Africa is the same, or a person from Nigeria is the same as a person from Ethiopia, or is the same as someone from Egypt, or the same as someone from South Africa, or the Democratic Republic of Congo, or wherever, is just one. It's almost bigoted. You're saying, oh, they're all this. No, look at the, like, do this on your phone. Look at the distance between Nigeria and Mogadishu.
Okay, pick a different one, because I can't fucking spell that.
Oh, goddamn, do I have to fucking do it?
Distance from Nigeria to...
I tell you what, put Lego, L-A-G-O-S. Lagos to Mogadishu.
So
I just pulled it up.
Yeah, by car, it's 15 hours. That's not that far. I mean, that's from here to Denver.
Hold on a second. In miles.
It's 1,000 miles. That's not that far.
It's 1,000 miles.
Okay, I get that. But
and look, that is on the middle part, like the waste part of Africa.
Okay, yeah, but 1,000 miles, that's the same distance between here and L.A., bro. Maybe.
Exactly, but there's, think of how much different we can be from here into L.A. people are.
Hold up, I got this. Cairo to
Johannesburg.
Johannesburg. Okay, because that's extreme north, extreme south. Holy fuck-a-moly.
How much is it?
I don't know how far it is in miles, but it's 8,656 kilometers, so probably right around 10,000 miles.
Hold on a second. Did you put yours in miles? Because Lagos to Mogadishu in mine is 4,000 miles.
I didn't put that one. I put, told me Lagos.
Yeah, I did. I put Lagos to Mogadishu is 4,000 miles.
That's not what mine came up as.
Did you have yours in meters? Because I had to change my, I had to put in miles to make sure it got me the right thing.
Well, Cairo to Johannesburg is 5,378 miles. I'm not good at converting metric to.
Look, I have right here, Lagos to Mogadishu on my phone. It would take 103 hours by car. It's 4,000 fucking miles. That's how fucking big Africa, back of it is fucking huge. And to say that, and then you can go get even, like, look at the places where a lot of the slaves that came to the Americas were from. They're from different parts of the West Coast that are fucking huge in distance and miles. There's no connection between a person from Mali to Nigeria. They're different types of people. So to call somebody just they're African, that's whatever bad word you want to say. It's racist and bigot. It's like, they're not the same. They're different than each other. Same thing as, are people in Russia the same as people in England? Are people in Saudi Arabia the same as people in Afghanistan? No, they're not. They're just completely different. People in China and people in Japan are completely different.
But, I mean, hell, people in, you know, the deep South versus people in fucking California.
People in North Louisiana and South Louisiana. That's the problem with fucking labels. These labels are not accurate. They just give you this a bigoted way of looking at people. And that's what kind of irritates the shit out of me. It's like, I don't even know where we're going with it.
I really don't either.
But fuck, just...
We went from talking about Joe Biden and the LGBTQ... Oh, I know how we got here.
I know we got there. So,
people of color versus...
But...
Let me ask you a question.
I have no problem with the, but Trump, he had black people and gay people and women in his administration. And guess what they were called? They were called Uncle Toms, and they were called cunts, and they were called all these bad names because they were Republicans.
I mean, I hate to say it, but it, I mean, for the tolerant left, they're really not that tolerant if you're not on the left. But you can't say, I don't understand why you can't say that to them, and they don't, their brain, I guess it's because it's like, I just don't get it. It's like, hey man, you know, you're all about tolerance, but this person being on the right, you know, and believing these things, you're not okay with that. So why are you not tolerant of that? Oh, well, it's not right. Who says? I mean,
Condoleezza Rice is a Republican. If she would have gotten elected as vice president, do you think they should have got the fanfare that Kamala got? Fuck no, they didn't, because they don't give a shit that they're black. They give a shit that they're black and Democratic. That's what they care about. And they're liberal or progressive. They don't care if you're a woman. They don't care if you're a person of color. They don't care if you're LGBT. As long as you are part of the tribe. If you are not, you'll get treated like Sarah Palin did. I'm not saying Sarah Palin was a good candidate at all.
Right.
But she would have been the first fucking woman ever to be the vice president, the second most powerful person in the world, right? And yet they treated her like shit, and they called her all these fucking names. Things that, think about this. They say if you are against racism, but you call a person who is a black Republican a coon or a Uncle Tom, you are a racist. You are a bigoted racist. That's what you are, because either you want a African American to be, or a black American, I should say, to be in a position of power, or you don't. And you should celebrate that. If that's what you feel like, I was a black woman born in the 40s. Let's say I was a black woman born in the 40s, and I never thought that a woman would ever be vice president, ever, or president. I should be proud that regardless... Even if they are a Republican, an opposite or a Democrat, or an opposite from me, you should still be proud, at least to an extent, that they were able to accomplish that. If you are not, and you're mad because, oh, they're a Republican and they call them a fucking Uncle Tom or whatever, then fuck you. That's how I view it. If there's a person who's a woman, let's say they're the first woman to become vice president or first woman to become president, but they're Republican and you call her a cunt and you can't believe, and she's a shame, and you don't celebrate that as a woman, well, fuck you too for that. Don't say that you want a woman, it has to be your tribe woman, because if someone else's tribe woman, they get called a cunt or whatever the fuck it is. If they're gay, but they happen to be a gay Republican or a gay, you know, someone who's not a part of, you know, I'm kind of picking on the left here a little bit, because they're the ones who usually typically pull this shit.
Right.
So, are there gay Republicans? I don't know if there are or not. Let's say there are.
I'm sure there are.
Yeah, let's say there's a gay, mostly conservative Republican. You know, they just happen to be conservative, and they happen to be Republican. They have certain values that aren't, they're probably going to be a little different on the lifestyle front, probably, to an extent. But whose isn't? So, but they're Republican. They have a bit. Let's say they have a business. They're Republican. They vote for, they feel that Republicans represent their interests the most, even if they don't agree with everything. If they become the president, and you're a liberal, and you're calling them a queer or a faggot, then you're not pro LGBT. You're not. You're full of shit, is what you are, and that's what all of them are. If you can't be happy that, oh, this is a person that I never thought would be in the power structure in the United States, but they're not my people, then fuck you. You're not who, you're not the good person you think you are. You're not the person who has the moral convictions that you think you do. There's my rant.
No, I mean, it's a good rant. I'm just like I said, I mean, you try to bring these points up, though, and I don't bother bringing these points up. I don't.
Because they don't fucking listen, because it's not about being right.
It's about being the loudest.
Yeah, being the loudest.
It's not even about being right. It's about winning. That's what it is. It's about winning the argument. Because, I mean, how many times have we seen people argue on Facebook? It's like, And like, I'm getting where I don't read the comments on anything anymore, just because, like, there's always some motherfucker. And it's Facebook. And on Facebook, you don't have to worry about getting punched in the fucking face. That's what it's
a huge thing.
That's a huge fucking thing, because people will say shit to people on Facebook they would not dare say to somebody.
No.
No. Cause, and people, well, you shouldn't use your fist. You know what? The threat of getting knocked the fuck out is a big deterrent.
Yeah, it is. You know? Well, talk to me with more respect. Yeah. I'm not going to just go beat your ass because you disagree with me. I'm going to beat your ass because you're insulting me and you're being a dick to me. And you're saying shit about me that may not be true. Fuck you. And I may not even hit you then. I just make, I'll let it be known, like, look, dude, if we can be respectful about this and just agree to disagree and have a conversation.
I think liberals,
or I can beat the shit out of you and hit you with that fucking statue in the face.
I think liberals are the worst about, well, if you hit me, I'm going to sue you. Okay, what are you going to do if I beat you to death?
Good. I'll go to jail and you'll be dead.
And you know what? I'm still going to go to court. I'm still going to go to court, but now you're dead. So now I have a better chance of getting out of the shit.
But they're the ones who say, you know, punch Nazis. Well, here's my thing about punching Nazis.
Have you ever seen Antifa win a fight?
First of all, no, I've never seen them win a fight. First of all, are that person you're talking to, are they an actual Nazi? More than likely, there's not. How many people are in, is there a Nazi party in the United States?
I'm sure. So hold up. I remember one time I was at Enoch's, and I'm sitting at this table with people, and I am probably the most conservative person at this table, but I'm also not talking, because, you know me, I'm super introverted. And I'm listening to this other dude. He's talking, and he's talking a lot, and he's saying stuff that's, I don't remember exactly what he said, but me and this other dude walk in, and the other dude I'm walking in with is getting all mad. That dude's a Nazi. And I'm like, and I'm staring at him with this, like, weird blank emotion, like, and I go, man, how is he a Nazi? And he says something. I was like, I remember I looked at this dude because I was like, you're a fucking idiot, aren't you? And he just kind of stares at me, and I'm like, man, what are you going to do about it? Because I wish I could remember what was said, but he was like, that dude's a Nazi. And I was like,
was the person in the building he was calling a Nazi?
It was a person at our table that we were sitting at, but he didn't say it to his face,
naturally. No. I'm talking about, who was he talking about?
He's talking about some dude sitting at our table that was just saying something. He didn't say anything, like, super, like, he didn't say anything racist. He didn't say anything prejudiced. He just said something that could be taken as almost Republican.
Right.
Not even Nazi. Like, let's say, because, I mean, nothing this dude said drew up any red flags to me. He just had a different opinion than the hardcore left, which was most of the people at the table we were at. So when me and this other dude got up, I remember we walked in at the same time, and he goes, that dude's a Nazi. I was like, what?
Did anyone else call him out?
No. And the dude calling him a Nazi, like the dude who said, you know, the liberal dude, for lack of a better term, I'm just calling that so because I don't know anybody's name in the picture. I didn't care, but I'm just sitting there staring at him like, bro, he's not a Nazi. He's just different. Like, he said nothing hateful. He just said something you don't agree with, and your brain can't comprehend it. So the only thing you know to do, because you have no, most of these people I've realized have no independent thought.
Yeah.
They're
afraid to. They're afraid.
I don't know if it's,
fuck yeah, they're afraid. They're afraid to be called out.
Is it that they're afraid to, or you think, like, well, I'm just going to go.
It's not one or the other. It's a combination of things.
Because I think some people, it's like, they don't have an independent thought, but they just kind of go with the flow, but they're not good go. Like, I'm go with the flow, no doubt.
Will any of us in that group message, like, shun each other for having a different political opinion? We all have different political opinions.
Nobody in that fucking group text is.
But, you know, the funny thing is that the most liberal people are me and you, and to other liberals, we're not liberal at all.
We're fucking
not. We're just a little more liberal than they are.
Yeah.
You know, that's just it. We're just not hardcore Republican. And I'm kind of generalizing. They are more hardcore conservative. More. Yeah. But I'm still fairly conservative in many ways.
I would say I'm definitely the most liberal out of all of us. And even then,
it's not much.
Not much. Because I've met real liberals and I'm like, nah. I want people to be free and all, but you want to know what I want more than that? I want my fucking money.
Well, you know what I was about to say? That is exactly what I was about to say. You know where we're all connected in the, like, all the people in the group message? Money. We want to make money, and we see that the more conservative Republican side is a little bit better at doing that.
Not much, but
not much,
bit.
But they're better. So
it's like we said in one of my political science classes. We're arguing over a percentage. One party's for 40% tax, and the other's for 35%, but I still want that 5%.
Goddamn right. It's a lot of money.
And then I'm trying to figure out, and at what point did it become bad to want to keep your money?
Yeah.
Like,
if I knew for sure that my money was going to good things and was not being squandered, I may consider paying my taxes, like, more tax. I'm just throwing out there. I'm not saying that I would. I'm just saying I may consider if I knew it was going to the right places and everything was going to, but no, it's not. It's going to these failed programs that keep people poor. It goes to these programs that make rich people rich. It goes to these programs that build weapons for other countries that goes to our defense spending. That's not our defense. Giving the Philippines a rocket is not our defense. If they want to buy it from us and we give them, make them pay for top dollar, hey, man, or a company, let's say a company does it. Like, a company makes missiles. Not our government, a company. And they want to sell it to fucking the Philippines? Fuck, I don't give a shit. But I'm not, that's where I get a problem, like, I get in a fight with a lot of more Republican people and conservative people when I say that we probably could reduce the size and scope of our defense. I'm not talking about military. I'm talking about defense spending, because a lot of our defense spending is bullshit and it's not helping the American people in any way. It sure is not helping the American veteran in any way. Think about this. We can create all these fucking tanks and anti-air missiles and give them to all these countries and get all these sweet deals that we have between, you know, this company and that company. But how many veterans are committing suicide a day? 22?
I'm about to look that up.
I think that's what it is, 22. It's high. Anyways, it's high. You don't think we could do more? Of course not. But you know who pays more money? Lockheed Martin. Lockheed Martin pays more money than the poor Marine that killed himself. It's just a fact.
Varying numbers, 20 to 22, though. Is
right.
It's a lot.
To the military-industrial complex, who is more important? The people selling all these weapons and using all this defense spending, or a few people that are have PTSD and are drunks now because they have PTSD, and they're on pills, or they're on whatever. They have psychological issues. What's more important to them?
You want to know who gave them those drugs initially, though?
Who?
Government.
The government did that. Well, the government takes these people and, you know, obviously military, you're going to be cannon fodder to an extent. I mean, it's probably just kind of the name of the game. But we can't talk about how much we love our veterans and they get treated shitty. They do. They get a raw deal. Whatever their, like, contract is, the government does not live up to their contract. You sure as fuck got to live up to the contract, or you get your ass kicked out and have a dishonorable discharge. You're not that important. The 22 people dying a day that are killing themselves are not as important to the military-industrial complex as Lockheed Martin. And that's just a fact.
I'm going to play devil's advocate
here. Cruel.
Though.
It's cruel. They did sign up for it. I give them that.
Let's strip away the... we're looking... and it's not the same. We both know it's not. But let's say I work for... Company A. Okay, let's say Lumen Technologies, biggest company here in town. Say I worked for them for 8 years. That's 2 terms for military, if right. I'm not mistaken. I quit. What is Lumen's, or I leave after 8 years. I leave on good terms, but what is Lumen Technologies, what is their responsibility to me after that 8 years? Now, we both know that's not the same, but being devil's advocate, what is... You know, what is the military's role to a soldier after he leaves?
Well, I mean, there's certain things that when you sign the contract, you get in certain things like...
With that being said...
College, you get free college, even if you're out of the military, you're supposed to get free health care. There's a myriad of different things that the military will do for you even when you're leaving.
Yeah.
Because it's a part of the contract you sign. You get this and you get that, blah, blah, blah. Now, you have to ask someone who's been in the military how much they live up to it.
Yeah.
Or how much they even give a shit about living up to it. You know, my grandfather got his new hearing aids 2 years after he died.
That's not awesome, but that's awesome. Like, really fucking awesome.
I get what you mean by awesome. It's like, he's dead. He can't use them anymore. But thanks, VA, for letting... I think we still got him. Like,
He can't, just in case one of y'all motherfuckers needs them later.
They're like some special ones that were made for like tinnitus, like because his ears were all, his ears still rang from the bomb's explosion. Think about that. He was still having problems with his ears. Let's see. He was 23, 24 when he was over there. And he died when he was like almost 94.
It's a long fucking time.
This is 70 years. So, but long story short, Lockheed Martin, all these defense spending things are more important to the government than Joe, who's a
now how much do you think
IED explosion survivor?
Now,
they just are. Sorry.
I mean, now how much, because one thing Trump did cut back on was governments, unnecessary government spending.
Yeah.
And so how much is Lockheed Martin charging for a, what's the common rifle used by a soldier? I will say M16. I don't know if it is or it didn't.
Well, you make it simple. Let's say, and they don't make M16s. I don't think they do. They make like planes and missiles and shit like that.
Okay,
guided systems.
Well, let's say gun company A. What do you think their markup is? Because I mean, Uncle Scam's just going to write the check.
Fuck yeah, they are.
Oh, it's $1,000 for, what is that gun you got right there? What's that?
AR-15.
Okay, AR-15. Let's say, who's it by?
Bushmaster.
Okay. I'm pretty sure Bushmasters do not have a government contract, but we're going to, let's say Bushmaster.
I think they do. They used to.
Okay. Well, Bushmaster has the AR-15 contract with government. I can't go nowhere else. So how much did you pay for the AR-15 if you feel like disclosing?
That one is a cheap one.
Okay.
That one's only like $600.
Okay, so what's a top-of-the-line AR-15?
Oh, you can get like an HK that's like $3,000.
Okay, so that's probably pretty close to top-of-the-line, I'm guessing.
Yes.
I mean, once
that's
again.
High-end. The military is not buying those. But I'd have to go back and see what's the...
I actually kind of want to research this now. Like, which ones do they buy? Like, what's the market? Because you know whatever the, like, what they sell it to you for and what they sell it to Uncle Scam for is not. Now, the only thing is Uncle Scam probably buys in such bulk that they might get a discount.
Oh, yeah, they get a... Well, fuck yeah, they do. Let's see.
These are questions I want answers to now.
U.S.
Like.
Army. I want to say they went to the HK. I know they went to the Sig Sauer with the pistol. I know you don't know what that is, but.
Nope, but.
Let's see. U.S. Army official rifle. I know this is probably killing a lot of military people when we're saying this. It's M4 carbine, but who's making? Let's see.
Brett, don't lose your shit when you hear
Brett,
this, man.
I mean, yeah, I mean, let us know, because I'm not really sure. I just know that that right now the M4 carbine is that's basically M4 carbine, just a civilian version.
I'll take your word for it.
You know, the only difference really between those and like the military version is some military versions you can go full auto, or some of them are 3-round burst and different types of ammo. There's different things. Mm. The gun replaced.
The point being that I'm eventually going to get Uncle Scam's paying for it, so I'm pretty sure these companies. I mean, they're just, hey, it's this much. And how much is Uncle Scam really, how much are they really looking around the market to go, hey, man, we're not getting a fair shake versus, oh, all right, we're just writing the check. That's how they were doing it with the planes, Air Force One and all that shit. That's one of the first things Trump did. Hey, man, that's not how much a plane cost. I know how much a plane cost. I have several. You're marking it up, so fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they do. They said, was that joke in Independence Day? He's like, you don't think they pay $30,000 for a hammer or a toilet? He's like, fuck yeah, they do. They charge whatever the fuck. Someone was telling me, I can't say who it is because you can put connections together. Their friend was cleaning U.S. Army uniforms. Okay, if you got a U.S. Army, there's not, you've seen them before. There's not much to a uniform.
There's
like
nothing special
about
them.
There's nothing
special
about them, right? How much do you think it would cost you, like, if you had to wash 30 of them, okay? You need detergent, a bottle of detergent.
$5 at best, depending on what style you get, maybe 10, but I mean, it's not.
Let's just say it's 20.
Okay.
Okay. You could wash all those for $20. Now, let's just add it, like, now, it's a, let's say, how many uniforms did we say?
30.
30. Okay. You wash 30 uniforms for $20, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if, let's say you want to labor, so you want, it's going to take you, let's say it makes these 3 hours to do it. Let's just say.
I'm following you.
So you have your labor, you're going to charge $60. So you, it's 100, I mean, it's $80 in all for it. That's how much you're charging for 30 uniforms, right?
Right.
This guy was charging $80 for one uniform. One. And I understand he probably had a bigger washer and dryer for stuff, and like there's probably going to be a little bit of more cost than our simplistic thing's going to be. But do you really think it cost $80?
I mean, I don't know how that? I don't know how much more complicated it could be. I mean, I just need my fucking clothes washed.
I mean,
there are some things that there's no complicated. I mean, now dry cleaning, I might understand maybe. Right. You know, if you're taking like a fine soldier's like ceremonial uniform, I could at least blink. Okay, I might could justify it. Maybe it's still a hard sell, but maybe I might could justify. Okay, we need that celebration uniform to be pristine.
Have you ever seen a washer and dryer that are meant for like a football team?
Yeah, they're pretty simplistic in their nature.
They're big. They're just big. That's all they are. They're bigger than the ones that you go to Washateria and see the biggest ones. They're about like that. They're just probably twice the size of those.
They're about the ones like they got at hospitals when they got to wash all that shit.
Right.
That's
about what it's like. Right. So yeah, once your cost is, and they probably got those things for fucking on the cheap too. But my point is that the government makes a lot of money, very like with these little squirrely ass contracts with people. Brother-in-law and all this kind of shit. There's probably a better weapon, right? There's probably a better weapon that could be used, but they use the one that's a little not as good, a little cheaper. And maybe, hell, they may not even be cheaper. It may be more expensive, but someone's brother-in-law is the one who owns the company.
And somewhere that extra money is going. So yeah. Anyways.
Our government's wasteful, is what I'm saying. End of story. The military, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's military, doesn't matter if it's civilian, doesn't matter. Just
I mean, you can make
money.
An argument that state is, you know, state governments are wasteful too. I mean,
fuck yeah, they are.
To a T, you know, they had these fucking dinners where it's like, oh, it's $500 a plate.
How much it cost to make that linguine? Because I can buy a shit ton of linguine for about $10. I'm talking about enough to feed 30 people.
And you know what the problem? And somebody, probably nobody that listens to this podcast. I don't give a shit. At some point, food is just food.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had some good pasta. Don't get me wrong. I've had some great chicken Alfredo. But at one point, you're
boiling water and frying chicken.
Yeah. It's like, well, it was made by Gordon Ramsay. So this motherfucker can charge me $200 for the same basic bullshit my niece can make? I mean, I don't have a niece, but you get my point. Yeah, and that's government to the T right there. It's like, and I'm pretty sure every bit of that money made goes somewhere down south.
Yeah, not north.
Definitely ain't here.
Not here.
Like
we were talking about how Ralph Abraham was the closest thing we ever got to having a northern
governor,
and even then, I don't even think he would have won.
He didn't stand a chance. He got smoked. Eddie Rasponi somehow got the Republican nod. That motherfucker.
And he was ratty. I didn't trust anything about that guy.
I didn't either. And you want to know the worst part about it is people fucking still voted for him.
Because he's a Republican. Because
he's still.
And people are tribal.
It's like, hold up. It's like.
In the case of John Bel Edwards, I don't blame him for voting for him, but it didn't matter if the guy who was a Democrat was really good. They still went out to vote for him because he's a Democrat.
Mm.
And let's quit acting like Democrats in Louisiana are much different than. A Democrat in Louisiana and a Republican in California are probably very similar.
I don't know. I think in the state level, Democrat and Republican, you know what it comes down to? No Democrat in the state of Louisiana is going to be able to come out and say, hey, you know what? I'm pro-choice. And no. I'm anti-gun. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
on
John Bel
Edwards is pro-choice or pro-life, and he's pro-gun. He is.
I mean, it kind of comes down to, you know what it comes down to is government spending. Where does the money go? That's all it is at a different, when it comes to the state levels, is the, you know,
And our bullshit constitutions.
Yeah. And then, you know, I mean, let's take California. You think a Republican in California is going to be like, you know what? No gay marriage. You know what? Everybody buy guns. It's not going to happen.
No.
Ain't no Republican in California going to be like, fuck the environment. Let's drill for oil. Not going to happen, homie.
Nope.
America. I really think there needs to be more states. I really do. I think there needs to be more because, I mean, once again, look how different we are. Geographically speaking, we're a tiny state.
Yeah.
And look how different North and South Louisiana are.
Yeah.
Now, throw in a state like Texas. I mean, and that place is so big. Like the east side of the state looks one way and the west side looks completely different. We've had to travel that fucking shitty-ass road before. Actually, the road's not that bad, but we've been making that shitty drive. I don't ever want to do it again. Fuck that.
People listening, would you accept North Louisiana becoming part of Texas? Would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
We definitely need to ask that on the podcast. I'd be about it. No state income tax. I'd have a little bit higher property tax, but...
Yeah.
I'm not... Hold up. This is my little rant. I am not against tax. Hear me out. Mm-hmm. I'm against income. I am against taxes being taken out before I get my check.
Okay.
Let's say I'm supposed to make $400 a week. That's a little low ball, but that's average what I make. $400 a week. I should get my $400. Like, I need that money.
Right.
But when I made $400 a week, on average, I'd get $100 taken out. I'd bring home maybe $300. Okay, that's a lot of money to someone like me.
Right.
I should get to keep that. That's a lot of money for a lot of people. I should be able to keep that. Now, yes, you want to, like, hey, well, maybe we should tax sales tax. Sales tax, I'm a little bit okay with, because you know what a lot of that sales tax does? It goes back into our community. Property tax goes back into the community. And here's something that you can't tell some people. You want to know why certain schools are shitty? It's because the property tax in that fucking neighborhood is shitty. Yeah. Or not. The property tax is fine, but, you know, tax on a fucking house that's only worth 20 grand isn't going to be fuck all, you know, right. versus the tax on a house that costs $300,000. I mean,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't have as, you know, why are these schools have lower funding? Because the neighborhoods are worse, right?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I think you can make an argument that it's the state's responsibility to try to make up some of that difference. I don't know where that money goes, which, I mean, I think it should. I think, and we'll get on this in a minute, but, you know, there should not be a discrepancy between, let's say Carroll. Carroll's one of the lower performing schools in the area. Carroll High School, there should not be any discrepancy between what the resources Carroll High School has and West Monroe High School has. Regardless of the fact, you know, let's be honest, the neighborhood Carroll's in is not the best versus a lot of neighborhoods that West Monroe is in, depending on which side of the interstate you're on. You know, West Monroe has a little bit better neighborhoods.
Right.
Still shouldn't be any difference in them. They should have the same resources, you know, we do. I don't know. I've never been to Carroll. That might have good resources. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you could even get, like, Monroe, Carroll places around Monroe. It's not too far from places that have a lot of money. But those, you think those parents are going to send their kids to Carroll?
No, they send the motherfuckers to St. Fred's or OCS.
Yeah, St. Fred's OCS. Of course they are. And I think it's not only, well, it's white people doing it. I think even wealthy African-Americans are probably going to send their kids to those schools.
Man, no doubt.
I mean, why wouldn't you? If you think your kid has a better chance of going to college and doing better in his life, would you send him to Carroll? Would you send him to St. Fred's? And I'm not shit-talking Carroll, but I'm just like, St. Fred's is a preparatory school.
Private schools usually tend to do better.
They did tend to do better.
They party pretty well, too, but that's the point.
Yeah, I could go on, like, private school. I mean, there was even that private school around town. I won't say who they are, but we'll just, you know, discuss. I think since it's public knowledge that you could discuss, like, we're not making necessarily accusations, but the accusations that were made against this school were pretty bad. It was pretty much was torture. Alleged bullying, extreme bullying with humiliation, possible sexual assault, and all this stuff. This wasn't normal. Look, there's going to be bullying in schools. There's bullying in outside of schools. But there's limits. Like me going, like, "What's up, douchebag?" That's, in a way, that's bullying you. But he's like, "Hey, man, fuck you." But everything's okay there. Like, yeah, technically, I may be bullying you to an extent when I'm in school. but holding you down and punching you in the face and making your life live in hell, there's levels to it. And that what was going allegedly what was going on there was pretty bad. But these people are wealthy people in the community.
I think they get away with it somehow. And they're
probably going to get away with it.
I don't know how.
Money talks and bullshit takes the bus.
I'll tell you what, the head of that fucking school got the fuck out and died.
Oh, yes, he did. I don't blame him either.
A little later than he should have, but he got the fuck out.
Some of the stuff that they should have shut the fuck up and never said anything.
Dude.
They should not put anything.
You know, if you're going to put some out, hey, you know, we're sorry that this happened, but we're investigating the matter. As of right now, we're investigating the matter. I mean, you're putting yourself.
You know why they did
victim
that?
Blamed. They
the fuck you. Yeah. You know why they did that, though? Because they know they can get away with it. They're going to get away with it. It's slowly going away. How much are you hearing about it?
I have no doubt. I have no doubt they get away with it.
Fuck yeah, they are.
It's in a small town. Because it's not here. We're not going to say what school. We're not going to say what town. But it's in a small town, and it's old white money.
Right.
They're going to get away with it.
You know where all legal systems are equal? The rich get away with shit.
That would pretty much
all be it. Legal, whether it's one here or in Nigeria or Mogadishu or China or Norway or Sweden or Australia. The rich get away with shit. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's pretty much how it is. Now, I do think there are people say that justice systems are not fair or fair. Or it's kind of that's not the best way to describe it. I would tell people that the justice system in the United States is more fair than most places in the world. However, it's still not fair.
No.
It's like, you see what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not saying that it's fair. I'm just saying it's more, like, on a case-by-case level, it is more fair than many other countries. And to say that you've never dealt with, like, other countries' prisons and stuff like that, and don't know much about them, or the justice systems. But for the most part, think about this. We are more fair, but we're still not fair. Think about that. But the only time that it is fair, or is identical, is rich person here is going to get away with stuff just like a rich person somewhere else will get away with stuff. Poor people get fucked. You know, middle class gets a mixed bag of things. You know, at least you get this, for the most part, you see your lawyer here. You may not be the best lawyer. Probably going to get if you're poor, you're going to get a public defendant. You're going to get. But even here, think of how many people break into cars around here and just let out a few days later. Those people don't get let out in most other countries. They get the fuck beat out of them, maybe shot in the fucking face.
Get their hands cut off.
Hands cut off and shit. So people get mad at me when I say that it's more. It's just because I said it's more fair doesn't mean it is fair. It's just more fair than it is here.
You get your day in court at least.
Yeah, it may not be the best thing. You're not going to get a kangaroo court for the most part here. For the most part. Now, there's bad examples. There's bad prosecutors. And you can get deep into that subject. But it's not, you're not in prison in Mogadishu. You're not. Shut the fuck up. Quit saying that you are. But at the same time, if someone said, oh, it is fair. Yeah, no, it isn't. Just because it's, I'm just saying, like, one is at the bottom of the shit heap and one's at the top of the shit heap. They're still in the shit heap. Like, just one's been festering for a little longer down at the bottom.
Yeah. Money talks and bullshit walks. Takes off.
That's what it comes down to.
One day I want to get rich enough to where I can make everything go in my favor. That would be kind of cool.
You know, the bad thing is everyone says, like, if I was rich, I wouldn't do what these rich people.
I would, you know what, you know,
sure?
Hold up. Let's go ahead.
We've had
this discussion. You know what happens, maybe not you anymore, but you know what happens if I get wealthy? You ever seen that movie, Wolf of Wall Street?
Yeah.
That's probably going to be me.
Hey, what's wrong with that? What's on the paper?
Okay.
What have we talked about?
I kind of went on a rant. We hadn't talked about anything on my list, but we've made it about 45 minutes, so cool. Facebook's changing its name. I think that's just the parent company is going to, because there's something Zuckerberg's wanting to do more than just social media. I don't know what that is. Maybe create an alien life form. Trump created his own social media called Truth Social. Yeah.
I may get on it just to get on it.
You know what the problem?
You know, okay. Let me go on a small rant on this.
Cool.
That's going to create nothing but an echo chamber. you're going to get most people who liberal progressives are probably not getting on there. There's going to be some, but it's going to be a conservative, Republican, right wings echo chamber.
Yep.
And they're going to talk about shit that no one's going to ever going to challenge them. But if it would, if Facebook had not done that, or Twitter and all those had not done that, it would have stayed in the big main platforms where people could argue about things in a somewhat civil, and they're usually not, but people could be called out on their bullshit.
Right.
Now you're gonna separate liberals and conservatives, and each person's gonna go in, they're gonna become more isolated, insulary, and they're gonna be more likely to fight people with violence as opposed to like with words. So I understand that all these companies could do what they want with the rules, but I mean they should never got rid of Alex Jones. They shouldn't have got rid of any of those people unless they're actually committing an actual crime.
You know, I'm gonna say this. I think Facebook needs to monitor if it's a personal, like, let's say let's say on our personal page, my personal page, I posted something like, Joe Biden is a duck in human form. Something stupid like that. I don't think Facebook should be able to censor that. Now, let's say I wanted to post something on our webpage, the Weird Bahamas page, saying, Joe Biden is bought and paid for by China, and here's how. Facebook should fact check the shit out of that. And any part of that article is wrong, hey man, get that shit off. Yep. I guess the point I'm trying to make is, there needs to be a difference between somebody's opinion and somebody stating something as a fact. Because this is my tangent turn. There are so many bullshit news sites out there that have, and I think I've gone on it before, so stop me if I have. So many bullshit news sites out there, and they're not real news sites. They're bloggers. They're no different than you and me. But they've found a way to form their opinion into fact, even though it has no journalistic credibility. Hell, I've taken journalism classes. I've written for a newspaper. I have more journalistic credibility than some of these people. And the only reason I have this problem is because somebody I know, conservative, posted an article talking about something to do with COVID-19 and the lab in Wuhan or something. And I read this article because it was a bullshit thing. I don't remember. But you know who the author of the title was? Didn't have an author given. The author given was the name of the site. Okay, no, you know, it did have some quotes, but you know what the quotes were? Bullshit, generic press release quotes, twisted in a way that makes it go along with the narrative of it was Wuhan's fault, they did it on purpose type thing. I don't remember the exact, but it was something close to that, and it took everything I had not to tell the person who posted the article, this article is complete and utter garbage, this is someone's opinion being passed off as fact, that if anybody with a brain stopped and read it and figured out what it was, it really is. It's just somebody's opinion twisted and morphed in a way that it seems like facts, but it's not. You know, it has no, where did this source come from? It really is. It is all bullshit. Because, I mean, and once again, I had to take journalist classes. I wrote for a paper. You know what happens if we get some shit wrong? Okay, and here's another. Okay, you know what happens if a newspaper prints something that turns out to be wrong? They have to print a retraction. That's the first thing. Now, the story, the bad part of the story that was untrue may be on page one, and the retraction may be on page eight. But it's there. But you also want to know what happens? A bunch of people get their asses chewed out, and the person who didn't do the job correctly, you know what happens to them? 9 times out of 10, they get fucking fired.
Yeah.
Because it's slander, whichever one is.
I'm listening. I'm checking something here real quick.
Yeah, we've been going since about 8:40. But, you can't print shit wrong about people. Now, certain things are a little sketchy, but you can't just make shit up in the paper. You're not supposed to be able to make shit up in the news. Now, we seem to have gotten a little bit loose with them rules, but, these bullshit bloggers that are being posted as news articles, like, I think Facebook really needs to crack down on that shit. You need to have some journal, like, what is this person's credentials? And if you don't have any, and you have done no into, like I said, that one post and It was being passed off as fact. Now, yes, I can look at that article and go, this is bullshit. But how many people can't? You know, I know what to look for. How many people don't? Probably a lot. I mean, like I said, I had to take several journalism classes. So I know what to look for. But how many people don't? And that's the problem we have in this world. And once again, it kind of goes, Donald Trump could say it's fake news, whether it was real or not, because so much of it had been fake.
Well, a lot of it had been fake. That's the problem.
Is, you know, most of these media and journalists have sold their credentials down the road for clicks and likes. And it's, you know, hey, man, print a true story. But that's not what we want. We want to be first. You all right over there, Ferris?
Yeah, I'm trying to do math, which is not a smart thing for me to do.
What are you trying to do?
I didn't set the fucking recording time.
Like I said, we started at about 8:40.
Okay.
I remember I looked down at my clock at about 8:45 and we've been going for a few minutes. So I'm roughing 8:40.
Okay. Just making sure.
Didn't you say it had to go 100 bars though? It was roughly our time frame?
So we're at 1,680 bars.
Oh.
And we usually stop at around 2,500.
Okay. Like that. Well.
And if we don't do the whole fucking hour and 20 minutes, we give a shit.
Right.
But
I think we've had good content so far. At least good rantings. But anyway. Coach O's buyout is $17 million. You know.
Who bought him out?
I think that's the boosters.
How much money do those boosters have to buy out a goddamn football coach?
Man, some of these universities is fucking bank.
Yeah, I'm saying, but these are the boosters buying it out.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Some of these boosters are fucking loaded.
Yeah. There's probably many of them. There might be a couple billionaires in there.
Well, I think there's only one billionaire in the state, and I think that's, it was Benson, but now I think it's his wife.
There's somebody from up here that's a billionaire, or close to it. It's a family. They go to Squire Creek, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm full of shit.
Maybe so. But, I mean, this is going to sound bad because we hadn't achieved it yet and we might never achieve it. But being a millionaire is not hard anymore. It's not the same anymore. Like I said, we might never achieve it, but just in general, being a millionaire is not hard.
No. There's a lot of people who are millionaires.
Yeah.
Billionaire is a new thing.
Yeah.
And I'm sure trillionaire will be next.
Yeah. I was seeing something where Jeff Bezos could buy an NFL team, the most expensive NFL team, and it'll only be like 2% of his net gross or his net income. I was like, yeah. God damn. He could pretty much buy the league if he wanted to.
But you know, the thing about Jeff Bezos where I'm not saying his wealth doesn't impress me. It doesn't impress me like John D. Rockefeller's like wealth impressed me. In that, yeah, I know John D. Rockefeller had a lot of stock and bonds and shit like that, but a lot of his stuff was factories and these big, just big assets, like hard assets. Whereas, like, a lot of these new billionaires, a lot of it's just stocks and bonds and not necessarily, like, hard assets. Well, I'm not saying that not of them are like that, but, you know, he doesn't have $180 billion in cash. He doesn't. Now, he could maybe sell his stock and get that, but, I mean, if he was selling like that, the stock would fucking tank in a heartbeat if you started, like, making big buyouts like that. So, I'm just saying.
Back to Coach O. I mean, one, he got divorced and started getting
some pussy.
He started getting some pussy and he didn't give a fuck no more. But I wonder, if you're a coach, let's say you're an older coach.
Okay.
Not a new one, young one trying to make your name. Say you're an older coach. Which job would you want to take? Would you want to take the LSU job that, hey, man, if you don't get 10 wins a season, people are calling for your fucking head. You know, they want a national championship damn near every year. They want you to whoop Saban's ass. Which, I mean, how far are we? We are two or three seasons removed from LSU winning the national title, going undefeated, two seasons.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get rid of him this year. He brought him their only unchallenged national title because they had a couple that they shared. But I think he's brought them their only unchallenged national championship in a long-ass time. He's out, but they wanted him out the door this season because he had a bad season. Now, on the flip side, let's take Terry Bowden. older guy, probably not going to live long enough to. I mean, I'm not trying to be morbid about it, but he is. He's in his either late 60s, early 70s. He's an older guy.
Right.
Probably not going to live long enough to get back to a national powerhouse team. So, yeah, you ain't going to make as much money at ULM, but you've already. He's got 3 wins. We're 3-3. We beat Liberty by an awesome last second field goal for 53 yards, and we were 33 point underdogs, and we beat them. We're 3-3. You've already surpassed expectations for this season.
Yeah. You did it when won the first game.
Yeah. So, I mean, what do you do? Like, if you're an older coach and you – do you want to go back to a national powerhouse like that where if you don't win 10 games a season, you know, you got to deal with all this extra bullshit? Or do you go to a program like ULM where, you know, if you're
– Okay, are we 12 games this year? Is it 12 games?
I think so.
Okay. So,
we went 0-10 last year because I think 2 got canceled because of COVID.
So, in theory, we could win 3 games and be bowl eligible. Now, obviously, ULM has to win more than 6. But
yeah, we have to. Oh,
unless
yeah.
It was last year. That would have been a great year to be.
So, I think the Sun Belt only has 3 official bowl tie-ins. Because even the 1 year we went to the bowl game, we just got lucky.
Right.
We didn't get any of the bowl tie-in spots. It was basically, you know, they didn't have enough. Independence Bowl didn't have enough of. You know, because it was the Sun Belt. I mean, it's the SEC and Big 12. Well, they didn't have enough teams that were bowl eligible, so they went at large. And because originally it was supposed to be us versus Tech. And, well, fuck you, Tech. But, yeah. So, we have to come in, and it's going to be hard. I don't think we do it this year. I think.
I mean, it's okay if we don't do it this year. It's, we're building.
I mean,
building.
Yeah, I mean, once again, we've already surpassed expectations. You know, I think we get 1 or 2 more wins this season, which is still 5-7. You know, hey, man, that's – God, how nice would it be to beat ULL and LSU, though?
It would be nice.
Be nice.
It's going to be hard. We're just not there yet.
No. But – which one would you – if you could pick which one would you beat?
Oh, you LSU.
Really?
By far, yeah.
I don't know, man. There'd be something to just beating ULL because I do call themselves the University of Louisiana. It's like, bro, and like I said in our group, you're like, if there is a school in the state that could lay claim to where the University of Louisiana, it's LSU. Don't even fucking get it twisted. ULL really is like that little brother, and we at least have the decency to be the fuck up uncle that you got to bail out of jail every now and then. Okay, so let me ask you this question: if you could beat any other D1 in-state rival, LSU, ULL, Tech, Tulane. I think those are all the other in-state rivals that are D1. Which one?
Did you add Tech in there?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course Tech.
I think.
Why is that not game not fucking played? That is stupid as fuck. It is.
And my dad said it one time, and my dad's usually full of shit on things, but I kind of agree with this. Tech cannot afford to lose to us. Not anymore. Because Tech has built themselves up to be a lot better program than us.
And they may be.
I mean.
But, God, that's a big game. Every year you could have at least. Let's just get to this, cut to the chase. We usually don't fill up a stadium. They don't fill up a stadium. They do a little better than us. But for the most part, the stadium doesn't get filled up. Imagine that at least will be a full fucking stadium.
You could write that fucking down on your fucking attendance as a home game. Your stadium was packed the fuck out.
Right.
Both of us.
Why not? And I know there's bullshit behind it and stuff that I probably don't understand and all that.
I mean,
stuff.
Even when we played Grambling, that fucking stadium is packed. When we played, you didn't go to the game, but when we played Jackson State, stadium was pretty packed. Now, granted, the HBCUs travel pretty well, and Jackson's not that far from here. But I mean, yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to beat Tech. It'd be nice to beat ULL and LSU this year, too.
Well, hold on a second.
I will also say this, though. Deion Sanders' son is
a stud.
He's a fucking stud. And if he would have had one more fucking player on that offense to go to, they'd probably whoop our ass. Because he had nobody to throw to. And we couldn't bring him down. Like, this motherfucker literally outran everybody on our team for like 15 seconds one time in the backfield trying to find somebody to get the fuck open before we could get his ass. I was like, damn. What are you doing over there?
I'm trying to figure something out. Keep going.
Okay. But
I'm listening.
You know, homecoming's this weekend. I ain't going to be making it because I'm going to a Halloween party that I promised I'd go to. But,
where at?
It's at one of my friend's houses.
Do I know this friend?
You've met them.
Okay. Wait, is this one that hates me?
No.
Okay, okay. Make sure.
I don't know. That's still a big parameter, right?
Yeah, there's plenty of them that hate me. Whatever.
Nah, this is, nah. But, man. How many seasons do you think ULM has to be successful before people start going? Because it can't just be one.
Well, we should one. I mean, one with big wins. Look at it.
Yeah. I think this year, if we could have a decent, if we didn't go 0-10 last year, but let's say LSU's having the shitty year they're having this year, and we didn't have this shittiest year. If we would have went 500 last season, I think more people go to the games this season.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get people to want to go watch a program that went 0-10 last year. And we, so, did you watch the ULM Kentucky game at all?
Watch some of it.
So we scored first. You know, we had a lead for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That was the first time we'd had a lead since 2019.
I know.
It was so bad last year. We were fucking terrible. God.
Think about it. He's got 3 wins after that. That's pretty, I mean, even if we only win 3 games this year, that's much.
That's what I'm saying.
It's much better than it was the year before.
Vegas spread on us was only to win 3 games. So, man, one more game, we at least beat Vegas. Let's see.
So, I'm handing Tim 2 bullets. Don't look at the back of them.
Okay. I'm staring at 2 bullets. Okay. One has a big tip and the other has a smaller tip. They're both still pretty big. One is blue, one is gray.
I'll say that the colors don't matter.
Okay.
It's just their brand.
Okay.
One
is fatter, though.
Okay. Which one of those is the primitive arm? Which one of those is the non-primitive arm?
If I gave you anything, it'd just be a guess. I really wouldn't be able to know. But I'm going to say the smaller one is the primitive.
No.
Really?
Smaller one is the modern. I say modern, quote-unquote modern round, even though it's from guess what year?
2000.
No. It's a 30-06.
So 1930?
Ought six.
Help me out here, bro.
Word ought is another word for year. Or zero.
So 1906.
1906.
Okay.
Other one is a 35 wheelin. The small one is a 30-06.
Okay.
That is a modern round. The other one is a 35 wheel-in, which is considered a primitive round in the state of Louisiana.
So, I mean,
the one that you're holding in your left hand, I'm going hunting this weekend with.
So, is there any difference in what's inside of these?
No, there's no difference what's inside. One is a 35 wheel-in. One is a 30-06. I'll give you a hint. It's not the metric system. So what is that 30 and that 35 signify? Do you know?
I don't have a clue, dude.
It doesn't have to necessarily be knowledge of guns or anything like that.
If I had to say, I would say the main difference is maybe the speed at which it comes out the barrel. Maybe.
Well, just look at them. One's bigger than the other.
I mean, one's big. Yeah, is that a?
And what does that 30 tell you about 30? 30 and 35. 35 is bigger than 30.
Right.
Well, what does that 30 signify? Do you know? I mean, it's like I said, it's not the metric. I'll give you a hint. It's not the metric system.
Okay. I really don't know. I mean.
Okay. So if you had that, you have those, and then I gave you a 50 BMG, or just 50, make it easy for you, a 50 caliber bullet.
Okay.
What does the 50 mean?
It's just a big fucking bullet.
It is bullet, but what is 50 telling you?
The size, isn't it?
Right. It's the size compared to what?
Zero? I mean,
inch. Okay. So that 30-06 is 30 hundredths of an inch. It's 30% of an inch. The 35 Willen is 35 hundredths of an inch. A 50 caliber is half an inch. 50. So if someone says, "Oh, I shot a 50, Let's say this one. Let's say a Civil War gun was a 57 caliber. That means it's a little over than 50% the size, or half an inch, a little bit bigger than half an inch. So most guns, like when they say 9mm, 10mm, and all that stuff, that's the metric system telling you the size of the bullet itself. So when I say that's a 30 caliber, caliber just means it's 30 hundredths of an inch.
Okay.
Okay. So that, if I'm not mistaken, I could. So you have the that bullet, the big one, mm-hmm. which the funny thing is that they're one is a parent of the other one. What it means is like they kind of come from the same lineage of bullets.
I mean, they look exactly the same.
They look very similar. And guess what's going to be very difficult and you could fuck up? You can put that 3500 in your .30-06 and blow your gun to pieces because it won't come out of the gun.
Ooh.
It won't come out of the barrel. So if you got a 270, and I don't know why it's called a 270. It's a little smaller. And I want to say that it's because it's like 2700. It's smaller than a .30-06. It comes from the .30-06. They just made the bullet skinnier. If you put a 270 inside a .30-06 and pull the trigger, it will come out, but it's probably going to, like, you understand what when they say a rifle, what rifling is?
Yeah.
It makes it spiral, right. So it won't clench down on the spirals and turn and come out like, you know, it's supposed to and be accurate. It'll flip around and it'll come out, but it'll be wild and crazy.
And then what the AK-47 does?
Yeah, but that's not necessarily why it does that. It's because the round is not strong enough for the bullet. You see that bullet, the .30-06?
Yeah.
That's the same bullet size that comes out of an AK-47. But the casing is like half of it. So there's not a lot of casing to it. So when it comes out, it just doesn't have that spin. You can get deep into like why it does that. But I get a .30-06 bullet and I put it in a 270 and I pull the trigger, it will probably explode the gun because it won't come out of the fucking barrel. Or get lodged in the barrel and you can't get it out. So that 35 Whelan right there, if you put that in a .30-06, and the reason I know that is because my fucking dad did that. Blew his gun up. It'll get stuck in there. But it's because they come from the same parent case. What I mean by parent case, like someone created a bullet and then people modified it and made their own bullet. So if you look on the back, Whelan is a person or company that made the 35 Whelan. Like when they say 35 Whelan, they mean the bullet. The person is a 30. If you look in the .30-06, it always says Springfield .30-06 because Springfield is the company that made it. SPR. See it on there?
SPRG, yeah.
Yep, Springfield. All of them say that. It doesn't matter if Remington makes the bullet or whoever. So you have the 45 ACP. You have the something Winchester. You know, they have their own bullet size, and it's just like a universal standard. But 30-06 came out in 1906, and if I'm not mistaken, it was kind of, I could be wrong. I want to say it came from a round that the Mauser used, which was a rifle from Germany. And then the Mauser came and they made, then the English kind of copied it and made their Enfield rifles. And then we made our Springfield rifles. That's our cartridge that we made. So that 30-06 was used by the U.S. military up until Korean War. Like, you ever seen World War II guns that are like the M1 Grand, like the one you see like Sam Private Ryan the held? That's what round that's using, is a .30-06. That's a big fucking round to put through a human, by the way. Like, you're gonna fucking kill them. But the problem is that imagine carrying 500 of those. How heavy that would be.
Yeah.
But if you're carrying a pistol round, it's not as much power. I mean, you can kill people with pistols, but it's not as much power. So where the assault rifle case, or what they did is they got the bullet and they just made it smaller to where you could carry a lot more but still have the ability to kill people with it, like, efficiently. That's why the M16, if you see how the size of that bullet, it looks like that. It's just much smaller than it. But that bullet, now you can get into the dynamics of that and like how well it's good at killing people, but it's pretty decent at killing people.
Right.
But you can make one a little bit bigger and be better. But you're gonna give away weight, or you're gonna give away power or whatever. So the U.S. military thought that getting rid of the power was better. Like, maintaining enough power to kill you, but losing a lot of the weight. Anyways, the 30-06 is considered a modern round. And it's been used for deer hunting since 1906. That's what my grandfather qualified in World War II with. Is that, you know, he shot a Springfield, 1906 Springfield rifle. And then he also used, what else? The M1 Grand shoots that same round. But that's a modern, what's called a modern round. That 35 Whelen is considered an older round. Like, they used it in, like, in the 1800s and stuff like that. So the big difference is that when that 30-06 shoots, it goes out and arcs a little bit and then comes back down. Whereas, like, let's say a 270 would shoot flat. Like, when you shot and you went 200 yards, it would never move. But, like, if I was shooting at 200 yards and I want to hit the bullseye, I would aim, like, a little bit different, like a little higher maybe, so yeah, it'll hit. But that 35 Whelen, once it gets past 100 yards, it starts to nosedive quick. So you probably, realistically, depending on how good the shooter is, a good shooter will probably shoot 200 yards with it. If they know, like, any good shooter is going to be able to hit something with that. But me, I'm probably not shooting over 100 yards with that 35 Whelen, just because it doesn't have the, it's just not as engineered as well. It's just older, and it crashes quicker, like it nosedives quicker. But you were talking about earlier how you used to have a muzzleloader season. That's what the primitive arm, like, you actually had to, you know, and they had breakover and ones, like, when you broke over and you put the powder and you put the gun and powder and stuff like that. But it was a one single shot gun, and you couldn't just unload and put a new bullet in right quick. It took you a second to do it. It wasn't necessarily like 1800s and, like, putting a ramrod. Like, you, I mean, there were ones like that. So Texas or Louisiana, Mississippi are the only state that can use that primitive round, which, here's the funny thing is, there's a, and I won't get into it, but there is a, anytime there's a Democrat in office, there's always a bullet shortage because people are buying them up and they can't keep up with production. And now you have, with the way that Brandon's doing things, you're having supply chain issues and things like that. So they can only make a certain amount of bullets. And, of course, are you going to make bullets that hardly anyone uses, or are you going to make the bullets that everyone uses? I mean, the ones that everyone uses, can you make more money? So the 35 Whelens aren't used as much. So the companies aren't making many of them. So I had to go to Bastrop to get those rounds, because they're nowhere else around has them. They don't have them. And that place that were selling them, they were selling them for 20 rounds. Okay. It was $65 for 20 rounds. Now, granted, I used five or six of them to get my gun sighted in. And I probably not going to use all, that's probably good for 2 years, assuming my gun doesn't, I don't knock it off, the side off. Probably good for 2 years to be able to hunt with. You only kill six deer a year anyways. And you can only use that gun 2 weeks, like a week before rifle season and a week after rifle season. Because why would you use that when you use a 30-06 and be much more accurate with it during the season? But that's a primitive arm, what's called a primitive arm. And I say that with quotation marks, primitive. Because when someone told me that, I was like, are you saying? I was like, okay, whatever. I didn't question, I didn't ask them. I'm surprised they even allowed that, to be honest with you.
Hey, yeah.
But I will tell you one thing. That little bit of difference in size is huge when it comes to how much it kicks. That motherfucker kicks like a goddamn mule. And then my brother has a even more primitive round that you're allowed to use, called a 45-70. That was used like 10 years after the Civil War. And that motherfucker kicks like a fucking mule. It's a real short, fat bullet. And it only shoots like a, you know, accurate like 100 yards maybe. Like I said, me accurate 100 yards. A real good person with a gun could probably get a lot more out of that. But your typical person is not going to... It's like a cannon, and when you fucking put a bullet around through a fucking deer with that, it's like, I call it a Civil War gun, because it just blows a chunk out of them. But I tell you, it knocks some bitches down, though. They don't move when you shoot them with that thing. They don't really move when you shoot it with that 35 Willen. The 35 Willen, that's a big fucking chunk of lead hitting you. Much less a fucking deer getting shot right in the goddamn lungs with it. You just don't go very far. Like, you know where I took you hunting the other day?
Yeah.
Like, that's probably where one place where I use that. And that's going to fucking demolish the deer I shoot with that.
Pet peeve, I think if you're hunting with a bow and arrow, let's say you're hunting, not with even with the one I go with, but like if you're hunting with like old school, like almost like a better term, Native American style, you shouldn't have to have a license for that. Like, I don't know why I feel that way, but I'm like, you know what? Well, but I mean, you got to have a license to fish with a fucking pole and a string attached to it.
Yeah, but you know how much that one cost?
How much?
$2. A cane pole is a $2 charge. Everything else is a $10, like... Like, give you an idea. So, L.A., you know what L.A. Wallet is?
Yeah.
I can have my ID on there. I can have, there's a lot of stuff. I can look at my license on it and stuff like that if I don't have it. But Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries licenses. And I just, my dumb ass has not gotten a lifetime license, but I'm going to this year. Not this year because I already paid for it. But next year, I'm definitely going to get it. So, fishing. So, resident, I have a resident basic fish, $10. Now, I also have a resident recreational hoop net. That's a hoop net. It's those big, long nets. Not the ones that you saw some of the pictures, but they're like 15 foot long, 20 foot long. And that one costs $20. So, that's $30 right there. Recreational wire net, which is like those little nets that I showed you.
Yeah.
That's $20. So, that's $50. And then I have a $25 crawfish trap license. That's $25. So, what is that? Yeah. A lot of money.
Yeah.
All right. Resident basic hunt. I want to. Resident basic hunt is. How much was it? I think it was $20. HIP certification. Resident was. Big game was 15. Resident bow was 15. Resident primitive firearm was 15. Resident duck stamp was 7, I think.
So basically what you're saying...
Federal duck stamp was $27. Used to be $15.
So basically what you're telling me right now is you can't just go, hey, you can't buy one all-encompassing license. You got to buy...
No, actually you can. You can buy the combo hunting and fishing license for $400, which honestly is not a bad deal.
How long is it for?
Lifetime.
Yeah, you're right. That's not a bad thing. Hold on. Let me rephrase that. For you, that would not be bad. There'd be no purpose for it for me. But for you, that would not be a bad.
But you know, if you started bow hunting a lot and you just had money to spend and you just got that license, you don't have to worry about that shit ever again. And you know why you would have less to worry about? Because even if you buy that, you still have to buy a duck stamp every year if you duck hunt. And you don't duck hunt, so that 20, like you would never like have to buy anything ever again.
Yeah,
you'd have to buy anything for fishing or hunting. Never have to worry about it ever again. But because now, like you, if you were able to buy your license, you'd have to buy a resident basic, a resident big game, and a archery license. So you'd probably be like $60, something like that.
Not to mention how much I got to pay to get my hunter's ed, so I can actually get all that.
Get
shit.
Get hunter's ed, and then you got to think about how much good money goes into, like how much gear I have, like. Yeah. Now, obviously, there's different, like, you're just never going to have a climbing stand, and you're not going to have the rope or the climbing stand. You're not going to have scopes and rifles and shit like that, you know, just not going to have that.
So, like, we got to wrap it up pretty soon, but this is kind of tying into everything. Shit like that, I think, is why, like, you know, you've seen this weird anti-gun thing, and I'm going to go on a tangent, but it's like, it's become so fucking, like, expensive to go hunting and to kill your own food. That is like, you know what? I'm just going to go fucking buy it. I mean, you've already said how much money you spent. And I mean, talking about all the money you spent on, like, climbing gear, you know, you just stuff outside of licensing and your guns, you know, you spend a lot. I know people that spend $10,000 every year. And it's just like, why do you think people, you know, if you're not hunting, what else use do you really have for a gun on the off chance that somebody's going to rob you? So, I mean, yeah, most people don't have the same thing for guns anymore that they used to. Because it's so fucking complicated to do anything now. It's like, fuck it. But yeah, we got to wrap it up.
I could go into a rant about licenses and stuff like that. I think they're too expensive. They do, and I'm not saying there isn't a role for the state to like regulate. Like, just instead of going out and kill 50 fucking deer, you know, right. I get that, but that doesn't mean they haven't gone too far in the other direction, in my opinion.
That's government, babe. That's how we started this motherfucker.
But they're dumb enough to let you use a 35 wheeling.
Louisiana.
And it's a breakover gun. I can, maybe not you, but I can shoot that, take the bullet out, and put another one out in way less than 5 seconds. Boom, put another one.
I've used a breakover before. It's not hard.
It's not hard. Only problem with that my rifle, or most breakover rifles, they don't kick them out. Like my 20 gauge, when I pop it open, it kicks the bullet. Yeah, it throws the bullet
out. That's what I've used.
But like if that popped the bullet out, I'd probably be even much faster than that. Yeah. Most primitive arm.
Miracle. All right, we're gonna wrap it up though.
Okay. Next week. You wanna try to get a guest next week or just see how it goes?
See how it goes, but yeah, we need to try. I mean, I think we do pretty good on our own. We just kind of got to get the right topic for sure.
Yeah, write shit down instead of just winging it. Yeah. Talking about sex for 40 minutes.
It was an interesting conversation.
It was.
Maybe not 40 minutes, but it was interesting.
Anything else?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. All right, guys, we'll see you later. And we are done.